This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Four-man rush. Pressure again. Mahomes in trouble. Mahomes sacked again. Third and an A for Philadelphia.
Three of six right there for the Eagles. How about this stat I just ran across? According to Next Gen Stats, the Eagles did not blitz one time in 42 dropbacks. That is just the fourth defense to not blitz in a game at all. I think any game. In the Next Gen Stats era. Amazing how they were able to get to Patrick Mahomes. Welcome back. It's the Yorktown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with here with you on a Buffalo football Monday, a happy Monday here that the Chiefs lost, but we're going to go out to the Western Hotline and talk with our guy, Evan Lazar. We've talked to Evan plenty over the years about the New England Patriots, and we'll get to them as well. Want to get his thoughts, though, on the Super Bowl last night and also on the upcoming NFL draft. Good morning, buddy. Thanks for joining me as usual.
Anytime, Sal. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Let me ask you, we're very happy here in Buffalo, like the fan base. Okay, Patriots, Chiefs get crushed on the national stage. Is the feeling the same from a previous dynasty who's watching this dynasty rise that happened last night?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody was trying to give the Chiefs their flowers a little bit and trying to be unbiased about it. And then once the game started, at least for me, myself, once the game started, I realized how much I was kind of pulling for the Eagles, as this sort of unfolded. And, it's a feather in the Patriots cap that they went to 9 Super Bowls and they were in one score games in all 9 of them, right? Like they were never blown out of a Super Bowl and they never had a dud like that on the biggest stage like the Chiefs did. So it's going to be even tougher now to pass Tom Brady and Bill Belichick if you're Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And when you watched last night, how surprised were you how it unfolded, Evan?
I was surprised because of just the lack of preparation and answers it seemed like the Chiefs had on offense for Vic Fangio and that Eagles defense. You think of Andy Reid as this wizard of an offensive mind and to just completely have zero answers whatsoever. It was surprising, but at the same time, when you looked at the matchup on paper, the Chiefs' offensive line against the Eagles' defensive line was a huge mismatch in Philly's favor. And I think all of us are coming out of this game now saying to ourselves, if you can't win in the trenches, if you can't pass protect and you can't rush the passer on the other side, it's going to be a tough time to win a Super Bowl like that. So I think that's the number one takeaway for everybody right now is the trenches rule. They still do.
No doubt about it. Evan Lazar joined me here on the West Her Hotline. All right, so let's shift gears and talk about the team that you cover mostly, the New England Patriots, and obviously a new regime coming in, Mike Vrabel. And is that something of a priority with them as well? There was some scuttlebutt that maybe they're interested in T.J. Watt. I don't know how real that was about a few weeks ago. I've seen that. Is that something that they need to do is upgrade their pass rush, and how do they go about doing that?
Oh, absolutely. That to me, their pass rush and their pass protection, those were some of the early words out of Vrabel's mouth in his introductory press conference is that they need to protect their quarterback and they need to, I think the word he used is alter the opposing team's quarterback or affect the opposing team's quarterback. So either way, you look at it, the Patriots last year, last in the league in sacks, 30th in pressure rate, dead last in pass block win rate on the other side of the ball. They lost in the trenches significantly over the last 2 years. They're the worst team in the league in pass protection according to ESPN's win rate stats. So that's where it starts for the Patriots. I know a lot of people around here are clamoring for that number one wide receiver to pair him with Drake May, whether it's T. Higgins or drafting Travis Hunter or whatever the case may be. But I do think the focus for Vrabel and for the personnel side of things right now is going to be on the offensive and defensive line.
Before I get to those players and how they go about that, what about the coaching staff that he's putting together? Some interesting hires. I know I've read some of your colleagues talking about and wondering where the fits are specifically and how this is all going to mesh. What are we looking at? What do the Patriots schematically look like and coaching-wise in 2025?
Well, defensively, I do think they're going to be a little bit different and more Tennessee Titans, if you will, on that side of the ball. Basically, all the coaches that Vrabel put together on the defensive side are with him in Tennessee. So they look like they're going to run what they were doing with the Titans down in Nashville. So you might see a little bit more zone coverage from the Patriots. You might see a little bit more four down. You know, Belichick has notoriously been a 3-4 defense type of guy going all the way back to his days with the Giants. So that could be a little bit different for the Patriots this time around. And offensively, there's an excitement level, a comfort level, certainly with Josh McDaniels. But I think the number one question that people have is, you know, how much is McDaniels going to evolve this system to fit Drake May versus having stationary pocket passers like Mac Jones and Tom Brady and Derek Carr in the last, you know, handful of years. So it's a big question mark with McDaniels. There's obviously a comfort and experience level that Vrabel's talked about that is good with a young quarterback, but that system is going to have to be tweaked to fit a different skill set this time around.
And then as far as acquiring that talent, they do have the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. Is there a favorite idea amongst Patriots fans on how they should approach that?
Well, it would be nice to trade down, but I think everybody right in this draft wants to trade down. And it really comes down to who you know, likes these quarterbacks and how do you prioritize that. You know, just a quick example, if the Jets call at 4, you know, and want to come up to get one of the quarterbacks, are the Patriots going to hand a quarterback to the Jets? You know, I don't know, right? I don't know if they would do that sort of thing. So that's number one, I think, for a lot of people, myself included, just because of the amount of holes that they do have on their rosters, that trading down would be ideal. But if not, then I do expect them to go offensive or defensive line, whether that's Will Campbell from LSU or Mason Graham from Michigan, or if Abdul Carter is still there, the pass rusher from Penn State. You know, one of those guys is really enticing for all the reasons that we just talked about with the Super Bowl. That's the way that the game is won and lost, it seems like, more times than not. And the Patriots are way, way behind in terms of talent on the defensive line and offensive line.
Would the Patriots want to get involved in a Myles Garrett type of trade with the assets that it would cost?
I don't necessarily see that one coming to fruition. I think that they're going to look at players that have a certain window here to line it up with Drake May. And Myles Garrett at 29, 30 years old, I just don't know if that necessarily fits their timeline right now. Now, if somebody like Micah Parsons were to come available at 25 years old, then certainly that would be something I think they would be very interested in. And I'm not saying that they won't make calls on Myles Garrett, because I'm sure that they will. But just him putting out a statement that he wants to go to a contender, mm-hmm. Their window and what they're looking at in terms of their rebuild, it just doesn't seem like for player and for team that one in particular lines up.
Yeah, I mean, we're all about it here in Buffalo, just so you know, Evan, as you can imagine. I mean, where the Bills are right now and their build, and, you know, they're knocking on the door, and you see that they're just maybe that particular player or position away. And I don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but everybody here in Buffalo is, oh, my God, go get Myles Garrett. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I was the Bills, that's exactly the type of move I would try to make. I'm sure if the Patriots of 10 years ago had an option of going after a guy like Myles Garrett, they'd be all over it. It's just a different timeline right now, and you have to be realistic, and I think for him, I highly doubt the Patriots would be very high on Myles Garrett's list, given that the Browns are picking, 2, and the Patriots are at 4. Or 3 and 4, whatever it is. It seems like that would deter him, and I think a lot of these veteran guys, it's going to be a number one topic, I'm sure, around here, Sal, with the Patriots, is how do you attract a lot of these free agents or big name veterans in the trade market? You know, can you get a T. Higgins to come here? Could you get a DK Metcalf mm-hmm. to come here? Could you get a Myles Garrett to come here? It's a tough one. Vrabel's, I think, a little bit more of a sell. Drake May's a little bit more of a sell. than where they were last year, but they're still a four-win football team that's got a long way to go.
It has not yet been confirmed or by the Bills or anyone on our side, but I will say there's a report from Matt Zenitz, who writes for CBS Sports and 247 Sports, that cornerbacks coach of the Patriots for the last 10 years, Mike Pellegrino, will be joining the Bills. Now, this is on the heels of reports that Scott Booker, the Bills' nickel coach, is going to join the Patriots. He was on Vrabel's staff in Tennessee, so that makes sense that that would happen. And if the Bills do bring over, it's a kind of a coach trade for trade, I guess, a player, a coach for coach trade here. But it is making us wonder here, because of what you said about maybe more zone defense coming from Vrabel. Is Pellegrino more versed in the man-to-man system? What has been the Patriots' MO over the last 10 years, and what can you tell us about Mike Pellegrino if this is indeed true?
Yeah, first off, with Pellegrino, it's a great person and a great coach. I think you guys got a really good one there. And we've had the pleasure of talking to him plenty over the years and media availabilities and things like that. And he's a player's coach. He's for his guys. He's very, very detailed. He's a very smart guy. Went to Johns Hopkins University, played lacrosse down there. That's how he first got on Bill Belichick's radar,
of course,
football crossover there. So he played lax, and then Belichick, met up with him and became a coaching assistant for the Patriots. And then Josh Boyer, who was the Patriots cornerbacks coach through a couple of Super Bowls, he ended up going with Brian Flores to Miami to be the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins when Flores became the head coach there. And Mike Pellegrino was then elevated to cornerbacks coach and took it from there. Defensive Player of the Year campaign for Stephon Gilmore under Pellegrino. Really good developer corners, J.C. Jackson, Christian Gonzalez has obviously flourished when he's on the field with Mike Pellegrino over the last couple of years. So a lot of Patriots fans were hoping that they were going to keep Pellegrino on Vrabel's staff. Vrabel's decided to go with his guys. You mentioned Booker and Hamilton, a couple other guys that were with him in Tennessee instead. But I know there was a lot of people that really supported Pellegrino staying here with the Patriots because of the work that he's done. It's not just those top guys. I mean, he's done a really nice job of getting guys onboarded and developing those guys that are UDFAs or late-round draft picks like a J.C. Jackson.
I know that, Bill Belichick did morph his systems over the years, but has it been primarily more of a man or a zone? Could you point to one or the other? And the reason I ask is, after what the Bills did this year, and again, Sean McDermott has had a tried and true system for him that's been a very heavy zone defense, but we saw maybe a little shift towards the back end of this year, a little bit more man-to-man. We see what these other teams are doing, and we're starting to wonder, maybe the Bills are going to go a little bit more man-to-man. What have the Patriots primarily run over the last 10 years?
Yeah, definitely a man-to-man defense for about at least a half decade, I would say. Belichick was always so scheme specific based off of personnel, but when he had that number one corner, that Darrell Revis, that Stephon Gilmore, now Christian Gonzalez last year, like when he had that number one guy, he was a defense that would want to play a lot of man to man. So they've been one of the more man coverage heavy defenses in the NFL for the last half a decade, going back to really getting Gilmore in 2017. So you're going to see a lot of, he's got a great feel for man-to-man with Pellegrino. I don't think it's the only thing he can coach. I think he is a versatile coach. But if you want to run more man-to-man coverage and you want to take some of that Belichick stuff, divider rules and leverage and all that kind of thing, helping the middle of the field with the post safety and the robber and all the good things the Patriots have done with their man-to-man coverages, then Pellegrino can definitely coach that up and get guys up to speed. I think one of the best things that the Patriots' man coverage system in the past, in Belichick's world, that they've been able to do is simplify things for corners. So it doesn't feel like you're completely on an island out there with a receiver who can run anywhere he wants. They do a really nice job of funneling to help and providing help and doing that sort of thing. And then obviously they have their different doubles and brackets and things like that too, when they do play, a Justin Jefferson or somebody of that ilk. So they have a lot of answers in man coverage, and they've done a really nice job with it over the years. And it just seems like guys are calm, they're patient, they don't really seem overly exposed when they play man-to-man a lot. So they do a lot of good things.
Evan Lazar, before I let you go, are the Bruins going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline?
Oh, man, I think they're going to probably stay pat right now, because I don't know who's going to be in charge of the Bruins next season. And I wonder if ownership is going to, you know, not want them to do anything drastic, you know, one way or the other, because I do think that, you know, the interim coach, I doubt will stay long-term. And I don't know if Don Sweeney is staying long-term either. So would you want the guy, you know, lame duck running your deadline? Probably not. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of fans are very sour on Sweeney. There was a Fire Sweeney chant going on, I think, at the Garden, I think, a couple weeks ago, wasn't there?
I might have started it, no.
I love it. I love it. Great job, buddy. Hey, are you going to be at the Combine in Indy?
Yes, I will.
All right,
yes, will.
I'll see you there. We'll catch up then. We'll talk a little draft, okay, bud?
Absolutely, Sal. Anytime.
All right, you got it. That is Evan Lazar. You can catch him at EZLazar on Twitter /X. And, of course, he is the Patriots Catch 22 at Patriots.com. Check him out. Does really good work. Patriots offseason, the draft, and, of course, some thoughts right there on the Super Bowl. We'll get John Ledyard. Same thing. Thoughts on the Super Bowl. Also, John is very heavy into the draft. We'll talk with him about some of the D linemen that might be available. He's been pouring over for the Buffalo Bills, defensive tackles, defensive ends, pass rushers. We'll do that. And some other thoughts at 11 a.m. here. We'll take a timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.